at dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him, you got it. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yes!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Yeah. Welcome to another edition of Kayak Fishing Radio Monday Night Kickoff Show. I am your host, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. I have a special guest to get to tonight, Mr. Tommy from Tommy Head Jigs. But before we get into all that, just would like to thank everybody who came out and fished with us on Friday and made that day quite interesting. We've got some really good fish stories from that particular trip to spread around, and I'm hoping that some of the guys that joined me on that little excursion will be calling us and giving us some input on how they did or didn't do. And actually, there was a theme for Friday. That theme was, "Hey Alan, fish on, buddy." That would be the, the term of the day or the phrase of the day. But it was awesome. Got to fish with Wade, who's in the chat room there, and got to fish with Pepe and Alan and Cliff and Aaron. Good friend of mine I haven't seen in a long time. Sometimes he joins us here in the chat room. And a couple other guys, too. Forgive me if I forgot you or forgot your name. But it was fun, man. We had a good time. Everybody that fished. Alex met up with us, too, and his son. So that was cool. But everybody who fished caught fish. Some guys took a little bit longer to catch fish than others, Alan. And... Yeah, oh, God, and my dad throws in the zinger, but he stayed dry, so that's good. I don't have a birthday soundbite, but what I do have is I have maybe some horns. Happy birthday, Mr. Pepe. It is your birthday. Cuban cigars and good whiskey. Hopefully that's what you're enjoying right now. But anyhow, on the phone with me, as always, or as almost always, he's been delinquent the last couple of weeks. Mr. Rob, a bad back cast of ore. How are you, brother?
Hey, man. What do you mean, almost old? Hey, dude, I'm in the middle of moving, man. A bad back half central here has been turned into a pile of boxes and blankets, and it's not a pretty sight, but the end is near, and pretty soon I'll be able to join the ranks of kayak fishermen worldwide and actually be able to get out on the water. Sometime. You know, I mean, first, people get sick of me calling, and second of all, I haven't been fishing, so what do I want to call your show for? I got nothing.
What do you mean people get sick of you calling? Nobody that I know gets sick of you calling. You're a staple here on this show, mister, and you remember that.
I apologize for my absence, but I've been a busy dude, man.
Oh, very cool. Hopefully the move was going well for you.
Yeah, It's a harrowing experience, Chuck, but luckily for me, things will only get better. So I'm I need a bigger place, man. I've outgrown my place here.
I understand, my friend. I do understand. Listen, folks, real quick in the chat room. I guess if you can't hear the show and you're refreshing, that doesn't make sense to tell you. But if those of you that can hear me, tell me. If those of you that can hear me, tell those who can't in the chat room there that they can call in and listen to the show. The guest call in is 714-816-4727. But anyhow.
Chuck, was the Godfather out there with you guys over the weekend?
He showed up late. I was expecting Chip to meet up with us relatively early, as most folks did. But he showed up a little bit late, and we kind of met up out there on the water and chit-chatted for a while and hung out over by the trucks and stuff, just kind of shooting the stuff. He got a chance to kind of look over Cars Park, and I think he's pretty excited about it.
Well, I didn't know that he was here because it wasn't raining.
We definitely told him to try and get there earlier, but, he was doing a lot of family stuff while he was down, so I do have to give Chip a huge thank you, because Chip gave my wife and I his guest pass for Cars Park, so we'll be able to go out there and camp at our leisure throughout the year. And I just need a tent. Really? No, truly. So me and Jess are in the market for a good tent. So that'd be good. But and then I don't have to pay to launch at Cars anymore. I just use the pass and I don't have to pay the $5, which is killer. But Fish on Alan, Alan heard a lot of that while we were out there. But so what about you, man? I know you've been trying to move and all. Have you had an opportunity to get out fishing?
No, not at all, man. I'm like jonesing, and it's been windy as all get out, man. I know it was windy over there for you guys over the weekend, but it's been just, 15 to 20 all day long, So, I don't know if I'd want to go even if I had the opportunity. I just haven't had a chance. Just so much stuff going on around here and, the holidays and everything, man. So I'm sorry I don't have a fishing report for you. I suck.
No, no worries. Kind of real quick go over ours. And I don't think any of my guys are going to call in to kind of give me a report of what they experienced. But probably the coolest thing that we experienced on Friday, at least me and Alan, is Alan casted at a what looked like a nervous water. Maybe some bait fish were getting spooked up or whatever. And anyhow, he hooks a redfish, and then the hook comes flying back at him. Minus his plastic. His plastic was gone.
Wow.
So so as we're drifting up to the area where this happened, I look in front of me, and I see this redfish laying there, and it looked like he was munching on something. So I look at Alan, and I go, dude, I bet you that's your fish. I bet you that's the fish you just lost. And me and Alan are maybe separated by about 10, 15 feet in our kayaks. Water's crystal clear. You can see the redfish. It's just as clear as day. Both of us could. So as kind of a joke, I flipped my Slayer SSB to him, thinking that, perhaps he'll eat. I don't know. If not, he'll spook off. But either way, at least, give it a shot. Well, the stupid thing ate. He ate the jerkbait that I threw at him. Right between me, it was between me and Alan. Me and Alan are like side by side. The fish is in between the two of us. He didn't spook off or nothing. And,
did you get the lure back?
Yeah, when he cleaned the fish that night, he got his lure back. Swear to God, he's got a picture of it and everything.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of crazy. And then, but man, we caught some nice fish. I think everybody that fished with us ended up catching reds and trout for the most part. So it's looking good for the boondoggle. For those that are a little hesitant to come down and fish with us on a no-motor zone, thinking that there's going to be too many people. We were in a group of seven that were close enough to each other that we could make fun of each other all day. And fishing on top of each other literally the entire day. And we still, everybody caught fish. So it was good. We had a good time. But, you know, the Slayer baits, man, I got to tell you, Slayer Inc., I don't give Chris, I don't think, enough credit to what he's done. Because if you watch what these people do, I mean, I'm talking about the guys that are fishing with us, everybody was throwing Slayers. And I don't think anybody, well, I know nobody got skunked. You know, in fact, I gave a kid at the launch a handful of Slayer baits before we left. And he went out the next day and caught his first no motor zone redfish on that bait. So, I mean, they're really, really good, man. They work really well. I'm really enjoying watching people flood into kayaks by boat to pick them up, too, because they're flying off the shelves, man. You know, molting color's been working real well over here. Chicken off the chain's been working real good. Some camo patterns and things like that. So it's been pretty good, yeah. Wade is officially the wind knot king. I've never seen anybody get as many wind knots as that guy.
You haven't fished with me enough.
Yeah, well. But it was good, man. It was a good time. Had by all, I think. Everybody enjoyed it, man. It was funny. It was funny to watch poor Alan, man. Alan had to deal with the crap talking so bad. I mean, we talked trash to Alan from about 8 o'clock till about noon. Because I don't think he... No, it was late. It was about noon. Cause he had
so you guys were like... You guys were all catching fish and he wasn't getting anything?
Yeah. In fact... In fact, one time I pulled up and, is that you, dude, on the line? I'm going to get to you just a second. I pulled up to right next to him one time, and he's like, oh, man, look at that nervous water out in front of him. And I totally cast it right in front of him and caught a fish, right in front of him. it was horrible, but it's always good, man. It's fun. But, listen, this guy, Alan, I mean... I think sometimes he just does it just to not embarrass people, because when he's hooking fish, that guy's on fire. Like, he caught two fish right away, and then he caught a third fish, and every time he caught a fish, he called Pepe. I'll caught another fish, you know, because Pepe was giving him crap too. But yeah, it was just fun, man. You know, there's nothing better than being on the water with a bunch of good people, you know, really enjoying yourself and having an opportunity to fish alongside some folks that, you know, you see right on the on your Facebook pages and stuff like that, and never having had an opportunity to fish with them before, it's makes for a good time. So, you know, it is what it is. Typical wintertime fishing. Black drum are starting to show up all over this region. I heard some guys were getting some down south. Some guys were getting them over in Titusville. One of our guys from the group was getting them over in the Mosquito Lagoon. So that's good, you know, that they're showing up. I'll tell you one thing, though. You have to, let me put it to you like this. If you fish with somebody that feels that it's necessary to keep everything that he catches, even if it's above and beyond the bag limits and the size limits that are put in place here in the state of Florida, you should probably, you know, remove yourself from that particular situation. I had a unfortunate circumstance of having to put somebody in their place on my page on Spaceless Kayak Anglers because they posted up a picture of about, I don't know, 8 or 9, you know, good-sized black drum that were clearly all over 24 inches. And the law for the state of Florida, for those of you that don't know, you're allowed 5 black drum per person, with one being over 24 inches over the slot, not 9 over the slot for 3 people.
Well, why would you want to keep that many of, or why would you want to keep them that big anyway? I mean, they're wormy as all get out. You know, I mean, me personally, even if I did like keep fish and stuff, I probably wouldn't keep one. Want to keep one of those for eating if it was over 20. You know, that's just me though.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is. I don't get it. I don't understand why anybody would do that. Keep so many fish. It just doesn't make any sense. Even if they were all slot-sized fish, you know, take what you can eat for dinner, maybe 2 dinners, and then release the rest. But, you know, people want hero shots, man, so it is what it is. But anyhow, let me get over here to Alan real quick. Mr. Alan, how are you, sir? Oh, there we go. Alan.
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Yeah.
I've got a week recap fishing report.
Yeah. Yeah.
From a full week. You want it? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, I'm working on it.
I know you are. Go ahead, buddy.
working on the phone etiquette. Anyway, let's see. Yeah, off work all week. Started on Monday fishing with Wade, engineer in the chat room. Monday, we no motors on all week, just to let you know. Monday, we tore them up. Drizzly, cold, windy. I got probably my second to third biggest redfish on artificial, Slayer, molting SSB. Sight fished that one in about probably 8-9 inches of water. That was my first fish of the day, right at about 32. That was measured on my measured on the paddle. I've got the new Bending Branches Angler Pro's got the measuring thing right on it. It's pretty cool. And after that, we were popping them. Okay, well, let me rephrase that. I was popping them one after another until Wade begged for a Slayer SSB. And I gave him a couple, and then he fairly quickly caught up to me. So Monday was a great day. Trout bites started real late, probably close to about 1 o'clock. We just started popping trout just left and right. I mean, it was just insane. Most of them were probably mid to upper 20s as far as size. Tuesday had to take a break, had to go get the driver's license renewed, registrations, all that kind of crud, good birthday stuff. And then Wade went, and I think he did real good Tuesday. Wednesday, we did good again Wednesday. It was 4 or 5 reds and trout apiece. Gave it a break Thursday, Thanksgiving, of course. And then Friday, which you were talking about is you know, where, what was it, a group of 9 of us, I think, started out. And, yeah, I had a pretty rough day that day, but started catching back up. But, yeah, I heard you talking about the infamous re-caught SSB redfish that begged to come home with me. And I have to tell you, I didn't fillet it. I filleted the fish, and we'd actually gone over to my brother's house. He lives right on the water, and he's got a little cleaning station out on his dock. So clean the fish, clean the first one, you know, pitched in the water. And I remembered, I was like, I got to check and see if that, you know, because that was the one we thought had re-hit. So I actually went up to the house, got a fishing pole that had a hook on it, snagged it off the bottom, brought it up, cut it open. Sure enough, there was probably about 3/4 of my molting SSB still, not really actually in its stomach, but, you know, part of the way. Almost down into his stomach. So, you know, that's unbelievable. A fish would hit, be hooked, you know, actually hooked, fighting, and come off, and then eat again. I think that just goes to show you how those slayers work. But
nothing to do with
awful.
The angler that convinced that fish to catch the.
Well, it could have been the skill of the second angler that. precisely placed over there. That was cool, though. I mean, that was one of the few times I've actually been fishing with somebody where I've actually, you know, other than, you know, fish that I've cast to, but actually watch somebody pitch to a fish and, you know, watch that fish eat. That was great. I was glad you got that fish. That was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, actually.
But, yeah. Went back out again Saturday, one last ditch effort, you know, beg the wife to go again. I've been promising my daughter all week to get the Christmas lights up. She graciously let me go one more time. And Saturday was kind of, I don't know, it was, I think I was burned out from the whole week of fishing. We had a couple guys come up from Fort Pierce that never fished, Fort Pierce from Point St. Lucie, never fished no motor zone. Showed them around a little bit. They ended up getting on a ton of trout. They went out deep towards the outer bar and got outside in that channel, and just from what I heard, they just slayed the trout. One of them got his red. He wanted to come out and get a no motor zone red, which he did. A couple other people from the Space Coast group that we met up with, one of which was who you were talking about that you gave some baits to the day before. And yeah, I was sitting right there. We got on, we jumped up a little, bumped up a little school of reds, and I hooked up, lost mine about halfway to the boat. He got his in, but it was on that Slayer SSP you given him. And I think he proceeded to have about a four or five, you know, reds that day or something like that. So, but that's about it. Good week, and I had a good time. Definitely good fishing.
Killer. Well, that's a pretty awesome week, man. I don't remember for the longest time not having an opportunity to do that, you know, fish that much. It's killer. Yeah, Teppy saying, fish on, Alan, in the chair room.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that ever. No, I won't say ever, but, yeah, that was pretty good. I got to say, that was, I was getting very, very frustrated, to say the least. I mean, it was funny yet frustrating to have people catching fish all around me, and like I heard you say, I think the high point was seeing that little group of fish out in front of us, pointing them out, casting to them a couple times, and you came up, and, yeah, I'll catch that fish out in front of you, boom. I was like, you know, I about put my stuff down and just paddled back. But I stuck it out. I finally got my fish, so it's all good. It was fun.
That was pretty good, by the way. I just have to say that that even impressed me. I was like, I'm going to call this just as a joke. I ended up catching a fish. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's when the tears, I think that's when I actually shed a couple tears. I didn't know if I gave up. Didn't give up. Yeah. I just didn't know what to do. I couldn't do nothing right that day.
Yeah, Peppy piled over to me. What's that?
Why is that? Why do you like, you know, everybody's catching fish but one person, you know?
You know what? I was throwing the same baits.
I was because the same thing happens to my buddy Keith. You know, we'll be out there, and I'll be catching fish, and he's like, you know, literally, you know, 10, 20 feet away from me, not catching, you know, throwing in the same spots, you know, using the same bait and nothing. I mean, I've gone out with him fishing before and caught, you know, 10 fish, and he's zero, you know. I don't get it, man.
I don't know. I mean, it was, you know, we were cast Saturday. Here's another. I mean, I can't remember half of the, you know, the cool little, you know, one shotter deals we had on some of these schools of fish and stuff. But Saturday ran into a buddy of mine. He's actually on the Space Coast site. Jim Ford. He's like hardcore fly fishing. That's like all he does now. Everywhere he goes, he won't even bring a spinning rod. It can be blowing 15, 20 miles an hour. He's got nothing but his fly rod. Ran into him out there, and it wasn't Jim Ford, I'm sorry. For some reason, his name slipped in my mind now, but anyway, that's great. But
way to go.
Yeah, he's out. That's real cool, huh? What a friend. But it'll come to me in a second. Anyway, he's out there. We run into him, come across him, and we bump up a little school of reds. I mean, they're pushing right at us. One of the guys in our group is hooked up. The whole school's pushing towards us. I throw out in front of them, and it's kind of a slow day. It kind of got slower as the week went on. And he is throwing this, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there because I don't think it's a big secret. He's throwing this straight black little marabou, almost looks for anybody that freshwater fly fishes, almost looks like what I would call a woolly booger. just a marabou screamer type, whatever. Nothing fancy, just all black. He pitches it out there in front of that school, and boom, he hooks up with like a, I think it was just at or over 26 inches. So really nice fish on a fly rod, and I got to sit there and watch that whole thing go down too. So that was, that would have been a great, great little video clip if I'd have thought about it. But, you know, he outfished us on the fly rod that day, so it was cool.
It would have been a great video clip if your video camera wasn't on the bottom of the motor.
Exactly. If I could find, I looked every day I was out there during the week too. No good. It's gone. Oh, well.
The hits just keep on coming.
You guys need to be amused. What would you do without me? There would be no amusement out there.
Well, I was getting ready to say, Peppy paddled over to me and was like, hey, Chuck, listen, dude, you really, really have to lay off on Alan. Like, I saw him crying next to the mangrove tree. It wasn't even like a weeping cry. It was that, like,
yeah,
not running down his face,
falling,
nibbling. Yeah, so we had to just
bottom lip back
off.
Up.
Yeah, I backed
that.
Yeah,
that's good.
I backed
that's
up
good
to that point. I gotta let you do your thing. Well, hang on a second. I got my guy here on the phone, Mr. Tommy from Tommy Head Jigs. How's it going, buddy?
I'm good. Doing pretty good. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Welcome to the Kayak Fishing Radio Network.
Sounds great.
Tell us a little bit about your products, man. Kind of give us the background on how you got started and everything else. But before we get really into that, for those of you that don't know, Tommy Head Jigs, I believe you're out of Georgia, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yep. I've been throwing a Tommy Head Jig now for, God, it seems like weeks and weeks and weeks, since the last boondoggle up there in Virginia Beach. And I've used the same jig head nonstop since there. And it's still as sharp as the day that I tied it on. It's missing all of its paint. The lead has probably lost a good, you know, 46th of an ounce because of teeth marks and chew bites and all this kind of thing. But the jig head itself is still razor sharp. Great jigs, man, by the way. And, yeah, just kind of go into the story, man. Tell us about how you get started and everything.
How I got started was fishing BFLs, bass fishing tournaments, a couple years back. And I lost a tournament. Any of the three fish would have won me the tournament, and any one of them. And came home upset. My wife said, why don't you make your own? So I went to some people I knew that had some background in making jigs. So I asked them what I should do and ordered a jig. Wrong jig came in. Wrong mode came in, and the one came in is what ended up being Tommy Head Jigs. I had a friend who I was fishing with. He swore up and down by these one jigs, and one day he went out there and went fishing and couldn't catch the thing. Put a Tommy Head Jig on, caught an 8-pound bass, caught a 6-pound bass, caught a 7-pound bass. I mean, just back to back to back, and basically from there is where the name Tommy Head Jigs came from, and that's how it all started.
Nice.
And since then, I've just, you know, that's been 3 years ago. I was sticking with the freshwater, but had some friends asking me if I could make some for the flats down in Florida, and I says, I don't know nothing about saltwater fishing. I went this past summer in Louisiana and caught my first ever redfish on Tommy Head, so I figured saltwater is the area I need to try, so.
Cool. So are you in local retail stores, or are you mainly web-based, or what?
Well, I got a web page. It's called TommyHeadJigs.com. And let's see, I got a, I'm in a couple local stores. I was in a couple others, but they've closed their doors due to the economy and everything else. So I'm back mostly on the web page.
Right on. Well, what sizes do you sell? I mean, do you have a couple different sizes, styles? I mean, you know, hook sizes, or you know, what's your your size run look like, I guess?
All right. The sizes I run are 3-aught, 4-aught, and 5-aught hooks in straight Mustad 6-degree flat-eye hooks. I also do a 4-aught wide gap, an 1/8 ounce, 3/16 and quarter are the three basic sizes I do. That's for the 3s, 4s, and 5s, and for the wide gaps. I also came out this year with something we call a Little Wookie. It's in 3-aughts, 1/8, 3/16 and quarter, and also in 4-aughts, 3/16 and 1/8 ounce. The wide gaps are all 45-degree flat-eye Mustad hooks. There's also 9 colors, and it seems like the saltwater fishermen really like the red bug and the chartreuse pepper, but I also have a third one that I don't have a label for yet, but it's pearl black. It's like a gray finish.
Very cool. My good friends, Scuba Stan and Holly, the snake girl, are obviously huge fans of your product. They're the ones that introduced me to your jig head, and I've always been kind of probably the first one to to doubt new stuff. You know, I'm a traditionalist. I've got things I like to use, and certain products that I don't usually stray from, and for me, jig heads are one of those. I've been using the same jig heads from a local company for years and years and years and years and years. And when they showed me yours, I was intrigued because it's different. Obviously, the ball shape head, and then having the eye turned upwards and out was interesting to me. But man, I got to tell you, I was impressed the first time I threw it. I started hooking fish, and I would say probably 95% of the fish that I hooked were hooked in the roof of the mouth or up in the top or, upper lip. And that was good. I never felt like I was going to lose the jig to any of the fish. So,
Well, that's what's really unique about the jigs is that when you tie, and it doesn't matter if you use a bait caster, a spinning reel, any type of rod, is that when your line comes off your spool, goes through to the eyelets on your rod, and goes down to the eye of the hook, it's all in one straight line from there all the way to the barb of the hook. It's one straight line. So when you set the hook, I don't care if you sidearm it, over the head, break their jaws, reel and then set the hook, it's going to hook them 90% or 95% of the time in the top of the jaw. It's like I was showing Holly and Stan. The first time I met them, we went out and they was throwing their jigs and I was throwing mine in, and I was out fishing them. And they said, "What are you doing different?" I said, "I honestly believe that's the Tommy head jig, is that when you set the hook, you're not going to lose them. Plus, it swims different when you're using a swim bait." I started testing swim baits the last couple of years, and it seems when you throw them on a 90-degree hook is that they don't swim straight. On mine, and I guess it's because the way the knot is tied to the eye of the hook, is that when you're bringing the swim bait through, it has a better, tighter wobble, and it just seems to swim straighter, more like a natural bait. And they switched over and they started catching fish. So usually on a 90-degree eye hook, after a lot of testing, is that when we set the hook has a tendency of turning in the fish's mouth. It'll go to the left or to the bottom. And I also believe that's the way the line is tied to the eye of the hook. With mine, it's a straight line. So it doesn't matter if you're sidearming it or coming over your head. You're hooking that fish in the top of the mouth. Wide gap, straight, or even the Little Wookies. Everything is usually in the top of the head.
Yeah, it's kind of impressive. I didn't lose. I don't think I, actually, to tell you the truth, I don't think I've lost a fish on your, I don't think I lost a fish at all. be honest with you, on your jigs. There's a couple of issues, I guess, in the chat room there. Guys aren't being able to listen to the show. I don't know what's going on tonight, folks. The Blog Talk Radio's had some issues lately, so. But anyway, yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that really irritated me about a couple of other brands that I got to talk to the owners of down at ICAST here in Orlando this year was, you know, they were like, oh, man, here, try these out. Hey, try these out. You know, give these things a test and all these new products. And, you know, if I lost a fish on one, then I'd pretty much put them in the back of the bag and give them away to somebody. You know, I'm all about confidence based, you know. I need to know that when I get out on the water that the time that I'm about to spend on the water is going to be positive, and any opportunity I have to hook a fish, I need to make sure that I put them in the boat, because there's nothing I hate worse than missing fish. So, yeah, that's the same for everything that I do as far as fishing is concerned, all the way down to my jigs. The rods that I use, the line that I use, the reels that I use, I mean, even the leader material that I like to use, it's all about a confidence thing. And but yeah, it's nice to know that when I throw that jig, if I get a proper hook set, that fish isn't getting away.
I think in the 3 years I've been making them, I think I've only lost two fish, and one of them was actually a redfish, but he snapped my line. That was down in Louisiana, and the other one was a fluke. I'd never set the hook. I mean, I had the fish coming in. In fact, it was a couple of weeks ago in the state championship, and I lost one by 6 pounds on the Tommy Head. Those are the only two fish I can really remember losing on a Tommy Head jig. I've never lost one. Called gluttonous or whatever, or not being humble, but. And that's why, I mean, right now I sponsor a couple different fishing leagues in the United States. If a person has something to do with Wounded Warrior projects, I'll back them up 100%. And that's why I donated when did you guys have the Boondago? A couple months ago.
Yeah, that was up there in the beach, yep.
Yeah, that's how I met Mark. But Holly and Stan asked me to donate, and you asked me to donate for this next Florida one. I don't have a problem donating because I know the proceeds go to a good cause.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, very cool, man. You know, it's always good to have folks from within the industry on the show and allow folks to listen to you and you know, hear where you kind of came from and what you're all about. All your jigs are made here in the U.S., which is cool.
Yes. They're made in Noonan, Georgia. Everything's handmade, hand-trimmed, hand-painted. I have a saying I like to say about my jigs, and that's God-given, God-driven. And it seems like I'm meeting the right people to spread the word about the Tommy Head jigs. In due time, it's all starting to come together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's what's the stand is saying? It's recycled lead, too, that you use, huh?
Yes. All the lead I use is, I have an electrical engineer that works in a hospital. Every time they tear down a wall, he gives me the lead. I also get lead from tires. But what I'll do is I'll remelt that about three times, adding flux and wax to it to get all the impurities out of it. So it's all 100% lead.
Very cool. That would explain why I'm bleeding out of my eyeballs after after tying your jigs on, man. Getting that straight pure lead as I'm talking about. That's the fix I need. Now, Alan, real quick, do you have any questions for Tommy?
Yeah. Sorry, I was falling asleep.
Whoa.
Just kidding. No, I didn't mean it like that. Not what I meant. No, that's not what I meant. Yeah, I've seen them. I've you know, actually seen some stuff on Facebook and stuff like that. And I haven't used them myself, but I mean, are they? They're not any type of weedless jig or nothing, or I mean, they're just basically a straight jig head type thing.
It's the same jig that I was. It's the same jig, Alan, I was throwing when I whooped you the last two times we fished.
Okay. I've seen them then, up close, personal. All right.
No, there is straight, and then there's an EWG, it's an extra wide gap. It's 4-aught. And, in fact, I gave some to Russ from Louisiana to try out EWGs. And, let's see, little Wookiees are weedless. They come with a skirt, sometimes rattle. I was trying to duplicate a blue crab the last time. I have yet to do it, or one that's in molting stage. I haven't been able to find the right color for it, but if I ever do, I think it'd be an awesome bait for on the flats.
Cool. Yeah, I need to try those. Pick some up.
Yeah. Well, you can go and check out his. Yeah, I did eat paint chips there, buddy. You can go check out his website, TommyHeadJigs.com, and order some direct from there.
You can also check him out on the Facebook if you just want to look at the pictures. I do have on the Facebook. I have pictures, but on Tommy Head Jigs, they're all basically the same price. There's 5-tool pack on the straights. There's 3-tool pack on the EWGs. The price has not changed in 3 years I've had them. And I figured, hey, I'm a fisherman. How do fishermen feel about paying for something more expensive? Or if something's good, hey, sell cheap.
Yeah, I like that. American made, sell it cheap, works good. It's pretty much the recipe for good stuff. I think Mark Lozier's wanted me to ask you about the EWG.
Okay.
Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, EWG is an extra wide gap. I sell that in a 4-aught. It's a 45-degree flat-eye hook. Musted. All my hooks are musted. To me, they're the sharpest and the best hooks on the market. The EWG is an extra wide gap hook. I do make that in a 4-aught, 8-ounce, 3/16 and quarter.
Nice. A 4-0 and a 16th extra wide gap would be a very interesting jig to throw, especially in the winter months when we lose most of our grass and we're fishing pretty much just on top of the sandy bottom. That would be cool.
The extra wide gap I use mostly for, and like I said, I do a lot of bass fishing, but I use them on thicker baits. I found the swim bait. This is a cockerel minnow, is what I was introduced down in Louisiana. The straight jig hooks seem to work good. I didn't try the EWGs while I was down there, but Russ, I can't pronounce his last name, but he's out in Louisiana, good friends with Holly and Stan, and I imagine Redfish Chuck knows who I'm talking about. But
Yeah, big old Russ.
I gave him some wide gaps to test drive. He's supposed to get back to me in the next couple of weeks, let me know.
Very cool. Well, I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Mark Lozier's preaching about him, so I'm sure he loves him. Stan, surprisingly, has not told me about these extra wide gap jig heads, which I'm a little bummed about, but, you know, that's Stan. He's got a lot of things going on in his world, so. But, cool, man. Are you going to try and make it down for the boondoggle this time, or what?
No, see, this year here I got a, February 9th, my dad, let me go back a little bit. I lost my mom 2.5 years ago due to cirrhosis of the liver. She was allergic to some anesthesia from a surgery, gave her cirrhosis of the liver. But anyways, we give money to the Liver Foundation, and this year here we're having an ice fishing tournament. Anybody that would be interested in donating $10 for the cause, you can mail to my, there's an address, a P.O. box address through my webpage. But this year here on February 9th, I will be up in upstate New York ice fishing in a tournament, first annual tournament for my mom or for the Liver Foundation. And it basically costs $10 to get in. So I figured that better cause than the boondoggle.
Yeah, well, of course. Absolutely, man. Then keep us up to date as we get closer and closer. You know, we'll plug that event for you. and give you some opportunities to kind of talk about it and try and promote it as much as possible, man, see what we can raise for you.
Oh, I appreciate it, Chuck. I need an address so I can send you those jigs for the Boondoggle, or would you rather have me send them to Holly and Stan?
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever works for you, buddy. Stan and Holly can drive them on down. That's fine. But yeah, please do me a favor, man, and make sure that you keep up to date with us and here in the chat rooms and everything else. Just, you know, plug away that date. Feel free to share any information you have on that tournament with me on my page there on Facebook, and then also in the Space Coast Kayak Anglers page if you're in there. See what we can do to help you out, man. But yeah, for sure, I don't blame you one bit. I'd be in upstate New York too in February if I had that event to do.
Yeah, it's I did join the Kayak Angler magazine, so on the blog site.
Yep.
So I met some guy by the name of Adam.
Yeah, Adam Hayes. Speaking of Adam Hayes, he's in the chat room, and I'm going to give them a little pump right here. Hang on one sec.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Yeah, good people over there, man. Adam Hayes and Mark Watanabe, the ninja. Those guys are good people.
Yeah, they seem to be good people. I mean, I enjoyed some of the blogs that they had.
Yeah, I've been known to write on there every now and again when Adam tells me if I don't, he's no longer going to ever speak to me again. And I usually pump out a review or a report or something within, you know, 20 minutes of sitting down at the computer. I'm just real lazy about all that, man. But, yeah, like I say, man, do me a favor, please. Make sure that you keep us up to date with everything that's going on with that so we can help you out, man.
All right, I do appreciate it. And like I said, it's only $10. It goes for a good cause. And but then again, the Boondoggle supports something with the Wounded Warriors, and I, you know, that's another reason why I donate to you guys as far as the jigs go. So it's not a problem. From one soldier to another, you know.
Absolutely, man, and you know, we appreciate everything you do, and keep on making those awesome jigs. And feel free anytime you want, man. Call the show, and you know, I'm sure. Mark Lozier, and then we'll have you on the show as well to promote your deal, and then also to Chip, give Chip a ring, and you know, plug the tournament and Mark Wheeler as well. All of our shows, you know, we'll be more than happy to help you out any way we can.
I do appreciate it.
No worries. But listen, man, thanks so much for calling. And if people want to check you out again, check out your jigs. Go ahead and give yourself a plug. Tell us your website and contact information and your Facebook page.
All right, my Facebook page is Tommy Ed Jigs, and my webpage is www.tommyheadjigs.com.
Cool. Awesome, man. And I'm going to have to get with you at some point after the show. Adam's asked me to pass along his contact information so they can figure out a better way to promote the tournament there on yakangler.com. So let's try and make that happen at some point in the next couple of days, buddy.
All right. Not a problem. I'll get back with you.
Cool, bud. Well, once again, man, I appreciate you calling.
I thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for me.
No worries, man. Have a great night.
You too. God bless.
Cool. You give him a shot, Alan, or what?
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate him calling in. That's good stuff. I got to try those. Nobody around here locals got them, or?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
If all things go as planned with our expansion of Kayaks by Bow,
mm-hmm.
there will be a good possibility that we will have them there.
Cool. Or if anybody has any extra ones they want to loan me that's got some, that'd be cool too. I mean, I can, you know, that'll
yeah,
work.
Well. Yeah, well, this guy doesn't have any extra anythings at the moment.
All right.
I still got the one busted up Tommy Head jig I've been fishing with for like three and a half weeks. So,
wow.
Yeah. But anyways, cool. See, we got, let's go through the chat room real quick, man. We got a pretty full house. Looks like Lenny's still kind of hanging out too. Or at least he says he's gone, but I don't know, he's still in there. Captain Mike Ortigo, Steve Chapman, from Fishing Florida Radio. I had the distinct pleasure of sitting in their new studio, which, by the way, is awesome, over in Orlando, on their show two weekends ago. And it was awesome, man. We had a great time, as always, cracking up, just cutting up. Those guys are good people. But that's Mike Ortego. For those of you that don't know, as you might have saw in the chat room, is the CEO, if you will, of Tackle Webs Storage Systems. If you don't have a Tackle Web storage system on your kayak, something's not right with you. Check them out. They're it's an awesome product, man. I've got two on my main Jackson Kayak Cuda that I use, and then I've got one on each of my other seats for my Jackson boats, and they're pretty awesome. It kind of eliminates the need to have 15 different, you know, boxes on the boat, or if you have a milk crate, you can get rid of the milk crate and just keep everything nice and clean, especially for those of us that have frame chairs in our kayaks. You know, you can attach it right to the back of the chair. Mr. Allen, who has a Jackson kayak, doesn't have a Tackle Webs on the back of his chair yet. Right, Allen?
Here it comes. Here it comes.
Yes.
No,
right,
I do
Allen?
Not. I do not. No, I'm working on it, but I don't. But yeah, I could definitely use some. Maybe may have a few more things in my possession today if I had one. But anyway, we won't go there again.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I saw Wade said he needs one to put all of his wind knot clippings in. Oh, that's good. But easy to. To attach to any seat, any bungee system on the back of your kayak. If you have a Diablo kayak, they make specific ones for the Diablo boats, for the backrests and for the sides and seats. Awesome product, man. I always pump up Mike, man. He's good people. He's a good friend of mine. And I like to see local guys succeed and do good business. And he's doing one hell of a business right now. So definitely have to get on board with that. Let's see what else we got going on. Oh, Mr. Lozier's joined us tonight. Appreciate that, buddy. It's nice to see you in there. Scoop Stan. I did see it one time. Chris. Where's he at? No, he's gone. Chris Flores, Mexican jumping bean. He's gone. But let's see what else is going on. I don't know, man. You plan on doing any fishing this week? Oh, no, wait. You can't fish. You got to work this weekend, right?
I'm working straight through. Yeah, 4-day weekend, the weekend after that. I'll be hitting it then. But, yeah, this weekend, the real job's got me pinned down, so no fishing.
For those of you that are going to be hanging out, what was I going to say? You're not doing much of anything on Monday night, Saturday night. This Saturday night, December the 1st, there's a big food truck rally up in Titusville, Food Truck Wars. There'll be 40 food trucks from all over the state of Florida coming to town to do a competition here in the downtown Titusville area. So if you guys are coming over to fish this weekend on Saturday, make it an extended day. Come on out, hang out over at the food truck rally, and then slide on over to Kayaks by Bow and check it out and see what else is going on, man. Check out our store. Check out all of our, you know, our selection. We should have our Hobie boats in really soon. I noticed today when I got there that there was a number of boxes of Hobie-type material laying around. So some of their accessories have arrived before I've even had the boats, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but whatever. The question is, does Kayaks by Bow have Jackson and Wieldy boats? Yes, I do. We do. We've got both. So Kayaks by Bow carries Native, Wilderness, Jackson, Diablo, Ocean, New Canoe, Ely, and now Hobie. So, and the list may or may not be growing. But, yeah, we've got pretty much everything you could think of. let us know, except for Slayers from Native. We don't have any of those yet, Mark Lozier. But let's see. Gotta have. All right, come on down and check out the ride and the CUDA. Come on down, man. We've got some demos you can try. We're gonna have to do that one day, but maybe Malibu one day. Yeah, probably not. So no, I'm just kidding. I don't know, man. We're open to whatever. We just have to see if there's room, and depends upon when he just boned you. Depending upon whether or not we do our expansion. And as expansion, for those of you that don't know, there may or may not be a possibility that Kayaks Bobo is going to expand their tackle selection. So I'll let you guys know as that progresses. But other than that, that's pretty much all I got, man. You got anything else, Alan?
Yeah, but it's probably something for another show.
What? Let's talk about it.
One thing that was brought up in the Space Coast group the other night about the condition of the no motor zone, the trash, the, you know, just surrounding area and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, I'll agree. It's, I saw a lot of, I actually saw a house for sale sign hanging in the mangroves. And, you know, probably should have grabbed it while I was out there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we could do to clean that place up, but it's not just that place. I mean, there's a couple spots in the refuge I fish that are just, I mean, you're launching your kayak in a garbage dump. I mean, I've brought, I don't know how many times I'll carry garbage bags in my truck. And when I get to that launch site, no matter, I mean, just in a week's time, I can fill another bag up. I've actually found diapers, shoes, you know, I haven't found a whole set of shoes yet. I'm still looking, but, you know, just all kinds of trash. So, I mean, it's not just in the motor zone. That was the one comment I saw, but I mean, any boat launches, kayak launches, whatever. I mean, people are, you know, I don't get it. You know, I try to clean up, whatever I can, but, I think if everybody would do that, just, you know, every now and then the launches that you use and stuff like that, just areas, whatever. I mean, don't, you know, you can still fish, get your time in fishing, but just, you know, if you see stuff like that, I mean, I try to. I mean, the no motor zone's a little bit different. That'd be a little bit tough. You'd probably have to pull something separate out there to, you know, do almost like a cleanup type, you know, exercise or whatever you want to call it out there. But, you know, it's not just there. There's a lot of places around here. People are just trashing. If it keeps up, they're going to start closing them down. You know, they're not going to lose access. So.
That's why so much of the wildlife refuge is closed now. You guys are griping and complaining about the fact that all these roads out there are being closed down and not to be reopened, and that's exactly why. It's because people just trash the heck out of it and don't think about it.
It's abused. Yep. So, that's all I just wanted to bring that up. I mean, it was, you know, I saw that comment about the no motor zone, and, you know, it's bad, but I've seen worse. I mean, you know, the fishing's good. I mean, the fishing's definitely good. I mean, I don't know, you know, I can't attest to it years ago. I didn't, you know, I've only recently started fishing it, but, you know, the fishing's still real good and everything. I know cars park, you know, they do all they can. They're limited as to what they can do with it, but, you know, maybe one time we could schedule some kind of a little cleanup or something, get up there and just, we got, you know, basically that one shoreline, you know, unless you want to hit the east side too, but, you know, that'd be cool. I'd do it.
Yeah. Well, let's schedule that. Let's figure it out. Pick a weekend. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get our group together and we'll see if we can't get the other group together and, you know, get as many people out there on the water as possible and make it happen.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
But, that's a good point. And that parlays well into my next, comment that I wanted to make tonight. Thank you very much for reminding me. I've witnessed several different people while out on the water fishing with individuals that just discard fishing line over the side of the boat, or will open up a pack of snacks or whatever and throw whatever piece of foil they just pulled off the bag or whatever into the water or just down on the bottom of the boat. I've seen people before you know, fishing off the beach, sink beer bottles. Just take a beer bottle and sink it and let it, you know, sink down to the bottom and that kind of thing. Just, you know, be a little bit mindful of what you're doing and what the implications are going to be of your actions. It doesn't take very long to, you know, ruin an area and have it closed off. I see that up Craps Creek, I'm not going to say what it says, but he's saying, cleanup session at the Boondoggle. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. We're going to, we'll get on this thing way prior to that. And, hopefully we'll have pristine shorelines for you folks to look at while you're paddling in the masses looking for fish to catch. You know, it's not even that it's that bad. I mean, we're kind of making it sound like it's the Hudson River.
Yeah, that's, I was going to say, it's not that bad. I mean, it's, I mean, like what it's, we're, I've what seen we're a talking whole about, lot worse. But
yeah, what we're mainly talking about here is crab pot buoys, boat fenders, buoys. Like, there's like a full-on buoy sitting on the bank. and
it's like an offshore buoy.
Dude, every time I see it, I want to grab it and take it home. I don't know why. I don't know what the hell I'd do with it, but I just want to take it home. But, it, you know, and it's usually big stuff. I'm constantly finding new topwater plugs along the mangrove line. I don't know who's the sorry sack that keeps breaking off topwater plugs in the trees, but I appreciate it. I've got quite the expensive collection of skitter walks and Zara spooks, thanks to whoever it is. But, you know, just it's nice to be able to have a clean refuge, clean area to be able to go and fish and not to worry about it. You know, the other side of the coin is some folks are upset because the way the grass is out here. Steve Chapman's leaving. Later, buddy. Appreciate you showing up. Check out Steve Chapman and Mike Ortigo at Fish in Florida Radio Saturday mornings from 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock. You can tune into them online as well at 740thegame.com. Great show, great group of guys. They're going to be out there at the Boondoggle, or at least I think Mike's going to come out to hang out with us. Steve may show up for a minute. But anyhow, yeah, we just need to be careful. That's what I do, Mike, is I throw most of my crap in my tackle webs bag, and when I get back, I throw it away in the trash can. So, but yeah, you know, we definitely need to straighten up after ourselves and make sure that straighten up after others isn't a bad idea either. I will have, at some point here shortly, some reusable trash bags from, recycledfish.com or org. I don't remember. Either way, I'm going to have some reusable trash bags to divvy out from Kayaks Webbo. We're going to, you know, put them in there and guys can come in and pick them up. But you know what? It's good karma, man. You clean up the place and it just makes it nice and preserves what we're already allowed to use, you know. But other than that, man, can you think of anything else?
No, that's about it.
Soundbite time.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Cool. So if you guys are going to go out and hit the water, tomorrow we're expecting temperatures up to the 80s. Highs in the 80s, which is pretty cool. We haven't seen that in a couple of days. Water temperature is still going to be nice and chilly. Fish shouldn't start biting until around 8:30, 9 o'clock, as always, this time of year. Get out there and take your time, man. Fish nice and slow. Look for the small schools of mullet that are still kind of hanging around. Fish around them. Fish potholes. Look for black drum. They've been cruising around. Maybe behoove you to stop at your local tackle shop, pick up a couple dozen shrimp. Before you head out, just in case you run into those black bastards. And, you know, work some plastics, work some top waters, that kind of thing. it's been good. It's been good. There's no reason why you shouldn't go out and catch a mess of fish right now. It's, heck, if Alan can do it, anyone can do it. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. I was going to say.
That's horrible.
That's all right.
Yeah, whatever. It is what it is. I wish, what's that? Oh, damn. Mark Lozier says it's 30 degrees up there is the high tonight in Virginia Beach. Yeah, you can keep that. Shrimp and flies for me tomorrow. Cool. Black Fly Guy's getting out there and throw the buggy whip around a little bit. Cool. Let's just get out there, man, and continue to grow the sport that we all love and take a kid fishing. Enjoy the time you have with the little ones. They grow up quick, man. Today's my little guy's second birthday, and I could hardly believe that he's two already. But Mr. Logan, who's sleeping soundly in his crib, 2 years old. It's crazy. Before I know it, he's going to be wanting to go kayaking just like his older brother. But cool. Sponsor spots. Thank you so much to all of my sponsors that continue to support me in my endeavors, whether it's here on Blog Talk Radio or just out on the water. Jackson Kayaks, Tackle Webs, Captain Mike Ortigo. You know, again, guys, check it out. Tacklewebs.com. Is the new site up, Mike? He's leaving. I don't know if he's already left. I think he did. Anyway, yay, why, yes, maybe. Anyway, yakangler.com, bloodydecks.com, Bedding Branches Paddles, and Orca Coolers. Appreciate all your support, and everybody take it easy, take care, take kid fishing, be safe out there, be good steward, pick up trash. And that's it. See you next Monday. Check out tomorrow night's show with the Loziers. No, tomorrow night is, yeah, the Loziers. Wow. And Wednesday is Mark Wheeler. Thursday is Chip the Godfather of Kayak Fishing Radio here. And also, damn, I almost forgot, www.helpemilynow.org. That needs to be in my list of things to say every week. Check them out. Help out Emily and Austin and their family. They can use it. That's it, man. That's all I got. Alan, man, I hope you have a good rest of your week, buddy. I'm sure I'll talk to you at some point.
Yeah, man. Will do.
Appreciate you being on here as always, man. And
not a problem.
That's all I got. See you, folks, next week. Same time, same place. Later.
Later.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Boondoggle, 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 what the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.